Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. Y'all tell the people them, no? Uh-huh.
Welcome to God in the Midst Christian Fellowship Ministry. Our host is Apostle Barbara Kizzy. Thank you for joining us today. Our lines will be open so you can call 516-418-5699 with your comments, questions, personal prophecy, or prayer requests. Again, our number is 516-418-5699. 418-5699. And God bless to everyone who called in and everyone in the chat room. God in the Midst, otherwise known as GITM or Get'em Radio, is an apostolic ministry whose charge is to help encourage, edify, and equip the people of God who are called to home churches, small churches, our parachurch ministries. For those of you who are joined us for the first time, home churches, small churches, and parachurch ministries may be small in number, but we know when we are faithful with a few things, the Lord make us ruler over much. We're featuring home, small, and parachurch ministries by interviewing them as well as presenting special, encouraging, and educational things monthly. We hope that as you hear these broadcasts, the Lord will confirm what he has placed on your heart. It may encourage you to step out boldly. It may even catapult you to the next dimension in the Lord and ministry.
Y'all tell the people them, no?
Well, hallelujah. Glory to God. Welcome, welcome, welcome to God in the Midst, Get'em Radio. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God. We bless you. You are the wonderful one. You are the almighty one. You are the one who is and was and is to come. And we bless your holy name, Lord God. We continue to dedicate this broadcast to you, Lord. Hallelujah. It is yours. And we say, Lord, do what you want to do. Move by your spirit, and we'll all be satisfied. And we thank you, Lord, right now that your word says that if two or more are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. And so we thank you for being in the midst tonight, Lord God. You're touching each and every person, those who are listening right now, and then those who will listen in the future. Hallelujah. Move on each and every one of us. Touch us as only you can, and all through our households. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you've been with us earlier this month, you know that we are in the middle, not quite in the middle, but we are having Wise Father Month this month. And so we're having fathers on that are talking about them being fathers. The Bible says in Exodus 20 and verse 12, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land your Lord is, you may live, let me go again. Thank you, Lord. Start over. Honor your father and your mother. I was speaking in tongues, y'all. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Hallelujah. And speaking of speaking in tongues, today is a special anniversary for me. I have been filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues for 31 years. Glory to God. And this is the anniversary of the day that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I have had an exciting day. Glory to God. So let me go on, though. And the other scripture is James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So these fathers that are being honored by the Lord, all of us can ask God for wisdom, and he will definitely give us wisdom. Hallelujah. He won't hold back. He won't be mad about it. He'll just give you wisdom. Praise God. So tonight, glory to God, we have a speaker. Now, remember last week we had Mr. Keith, and I was telling you guys that I went to the Monarchy car repair place. I went there to have my brakes looked at and to get new brakes. And while I was there, I met some, just God just moved by his spirit in that place. And we were having some really great conversations. So last week we had Mr. Keith on. And he was sharing with us about his four children, and we even had his wife to come on, and it was just a beautiful time. I'm trying to put in his 50s. And so and we were sitting there in the Monarchy, we began to talk. You know, Mr. Self were talking. Then a young man came in, and that young man is our speaker for tonight. Is Zachary Nelson. And so Zach came in, and all I noticed were his shoes. Never seen any shoes like these in my whole life. And I said, I got to ask this guy about these shoes and find out about these shoes. So I'm going to have him come on. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of these shoes that he was wearing that night. But one of the things I want to ask him about is his shoes. And we'll get into some more things. I'm so excited about today. I'm just all over the place. But I'm so excited. He does have a grown son, and that's one of the things that really, besides his shoes, you know, once he started talking, he began to talk to his son. And I was so blessed about this and how his life has changed because of his son and the things that he wanted to do. And so we're going to spend some time. We'll talk about his son a bit, which is exciting. His son is a dynamic child or alpha A, a generation A or generation alpha. We may talk a little bit about that, too. I'm excited about that. And after we talk about that, we're going to talk about what a man's heart, because it was just such a blessing to hear from him. And so, without further ado, I want to introduce to them and present to all, and I'm going to call Heather because he is born again, Brother Zachary Nelson. Welcome, Zach.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you here. Yes. Are you going to start off with the, I hope you did look that scripture up you're going to tell me about. Let's start with talking
yes,
about
ma'am.
Your shoes. So tell me about that scripture that you like.
So this scripture, it was a meaningful time for me. It was I was going through a certain time in my life, you know, where you just have to dig deep and pull through. So this scripture is from Romans 8:18.
Yes.
It says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." So that's
amen. And so tell me what it means.
That scripture, it meant a lot to me because I was at a point in time where, you know, work was. I was still in the military at the time, and if you was in the military, you would know that the work in the military is nonstop. You keep going. And on top of that, my wife was still pregnant, and on top of that, I was struggling. I was, you know, thinking about being a father, and just having to be a father in general was a task in itself. So I think I just happened to be with some friends one day. We was talking about just prevailing and just you know, fire us to dig deep. Don't have any. And I just stumbled across Romans 8:18, and that scripture spoke volumes to me.
Yes. Amen. And when you started to digging deep, that's where you go, Word of God. You know, and sometimes, like, if you're not in that big, deep in your life, it won't mean as much to you. But because you were going through something, you know, and the Bible starts talking about this present suffering can't be compared. And it's like, yeah, what you mean? And so it's like, yeah, when you're going through something, that's why the Bible is so awesome, because it's alive, and the Bible will meet us wherever we are because it's the Word of God, too. Thank you for sharing that with me. Now, let's stop for a second and talk about your shoes. tell me the name of those
shoes. The shoes that I had on that day, they were called I'm sorry. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Zach?
So, yeah, the shoes that I had on that day.
Okay. The shoes you had on that day. Can you hear me okay? His line dropped. Okay, with us. He will be back. Okay, but on these shoes, like I said, I've never seen any shoes like that. They were not tennis shoes, but they're like, oh, here he is. Kind of were like tennis shoes, not quite.
Right. So
okay,
these
Zach,
shoes, they were, yes, ma'am.
What
you can hear
called?
Me now?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Okay. So these shoes, they were called Yeezy Foam Runners. They were made by Kanye West, and they're like one of his newest shoes to come out. Now, the price, don't get me wrong, the price is it's a bit pricey, but the shoe and comfortability is amazing to me.
Okay. So this is what range is. Not like you paid that for them, okay? What's the price range?
I caught the shoes on a deal. They were priced, they usually run around like $200, maybe $150. But I got them for like $100. I got them for $100 flat.
Okay. Well, these days, you know, that's a good deal for us. So, and they had all kinds of colors on them and everything, and I've never seen anything like that. So that kind of opened the door for our conversation, those shoes you had on.
Right.
Let's talk about your innovation experience. About it with you, because I was, so do you remember what happened?
I didn't catch that last part. What did you say?
You're lying. Okay, when you can say what happened, we were all talking in the waiting room at the Monarchy, and then we came out for some reason. I think maybe Mr. Keith was finished, me and Mr. Keith were standing outside. And you came out broadcast and saved. And you ended up praying the prayer of salvation outside of the Monarchy. And you were telling me you have felt different since then. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, ma'am. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure what it was. Well, I'm almost certain it was God. But after that prayer, I just felt like I don't know, like a layer was lifted off of my back. And I've been feeling amazing since then. Like, I've just, you know, there's been times in my life since then where, you know, I feel like I was tested in a way, where it's like you have to make a better decision for yourself. And I feel like I've made some great decisions for myself and bettering myself and bettering my life.
Man. Hallelujah. And Zach, it's better. Now, there may be some times where some suffering will come, but then you've already gone deep on that one to a certain extent. So you know, even when you go through stuff, there's something better that's coming on
right.
The other side of that. Hallelujah. Amen.
Oh,
so
yeah.
One day you will get water baptized. I wish I could say, come on over here, we do it right now. But at some point in time, you will get water baptized. Amen. Thinking about my nephew, the next time he does water baptism, I'll let you know about him. So, amen. So tell us about your family. You're married. How long have you been married? I know, well, apparently you were in the military not too long ago. And we know that you're 24, so it'll be 25 next month, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I think it's kind of like a little bit when you hear me. So I'll be patient. Amen.
Yes.
So tell us about your family.
So in true honesty, I have an amazing family, and not just in my immediate family, my wife and my son, on both my wife's side of the family and my own side of the family, I truly have a ton of support. And I don't know, just from family to friends to cousins, you name it, I feel like I have a support line that many people don't have, which is why, you know, I reach out to help the people that don't, or I try to at least. But yes, my wife, I feel like every relationship goes through something, and but every relationship, well, not every relationship, but most relationships prevail, and I feel like that's what we're doing now. Like, not even just for the goodness of our child, but for the goodness of our own health in itself. I feel like we're doing amazing, and I can say as a man, I don't give my wife enough credit for what she does, but she's an amazing mother, to say the least.
All right.
And then her,
why do you say that? I mean, that's a good thing. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, but I will start off with her family, to say the least, just starting off with her brother. Her brother gives a ton of advice and wisdom, and he's a very knowledgeable young man. And again, it goes on from there, from her mother to their stepdad to everybody in their family. Like, I felt welcomed when I first came. You know, of course, you go through the, oh, we got to get used to this guy. But then now it's like blood can make us closer.
Hallelujah. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yes, Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. You got it. I'm sorry. I got to be patient.
No, you know what? I just changed something on my phone. I was going through my Wi-Fi, and that makes a delay. And so hopefully I'm sounding better now, and we're more synchronized now.
Oh, yeah, you're coming across completely clear now.
Yeah. So, okay. So anyway, so tell me, go ahead. Finish talking about your family.
And then on top of my wife's side of the family, my own side of the family, like, they've always been there to support me. But in the times where, like, towards me getting out of the military, it's been amazing support. Like, I would never thought that you would have so many people in your corner, because I've been on my own. I joined the military back in 2015. I only did 7 years, but that was 7 years of my life that, you know, I dealt, you know, I was protecting the country.
Amen.
Now that I'm completely out, I have, like, nothing but support from my mother. I have two younger brothers that still look up to me, regardless of me being in the military or not. And it's just—it's an amazing ride. It's a journey. It's a journey.
Awesome. Not many people can say that, you know.
Right. And then that's why and I was just going on, you know, I'm just happy that I'm here today, because, like I said, it was from from that scripture alone. That scripture, I was going through a tough period in life where you start questioning things, and, you know, certain stuff you just aren't able to deal with, or you aren't able to deal with. And I'm so happy that I'm here today to tell everybody and to let everybody know, whatever you think you're going through, you can get through it.
Amen. Now, I want you to talk about your son a little bit, but I wanted to say, you know, I just kind of grabbed a hold to a little something here about, you know, there's different generations that are mentioned. You know, people have studied the different generations and have kind of defined those generations by what is happening in life at that particular time. So according to the generations that have been defined, your generation is known as the Generation Z. And those are people who are born from 1997 to 2012. And so if I'm getting this right, that's your generation called a Generation Z. And the thing that in particular that stands out with Generation Z is that you guys were really the first generation that had the internet. You grew up with the internet. You grew up with social
Correct.
Media. And my generation is called the baby boomers. We didn't know anything about the internet. It wasn't even around. We didn't grow up like that when we were kids. And so, I am, kind of semi-technically savvy. I know a few things as a baby boomer. And now your baby is called a couple of things, Generation Alpha and also Pandemic Baby in specifically. And those are the babies that were born during the pandemic, or at least, somewhere like around 2018 or 2019 until the present time, and they're calling them pandemic babies. So you're a Generation Z who knows the internet. And, like, you probably got your first cell phone. You remember when you got your first cell phone? How old were you?
I think I got my first cell phone. I want to say my fifth grade year. It took a while for me to get mine.
Oh, and you think you were a little late getting it by the fifth grade?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. So if you were in the fifth grade, you were about 11 years old?
Give
something
or take,
like
yes,
that? Yeah, well, the average Generation Z got their cell phone when they were about 10 and a half, so it's probably about a few of your friends may have gotten it before you did. But when you look at my generation, we didn't know anything about cell phones at that age, at all. And so by the time you were 10 years old, you could work a cell phone. You were using your mother's or your parents' cell phones and doing all kind of stuff on it. Right? Were you playing games when you were little? Yeah. And so,
I remember it was my grandmother's phone. She had it was a Razor flip phone. I would always get that Razor flip phone.
And
I would
go
to her. I would get her Razor flip phone, and I would always go to the music. And I was big on Usher at the time, and I was I would play any Usher song that would play. It only play for maybe 15 to 30 seconds because it was a ringtone thing.
Uh huh.
And it was amazing.
Yeah. So now that was your generation. Now your son's generation. You were telling me some things about him and what he's doing with the tablet now. Tell me about that, how he finds his own videos and stuff.
Oh, yeah. To say the least, I will start off with saying, first of all, he's the apple of my eye. He's only 1 year old, and he's taught me more things than I could ever learn, just being a father, to say the least. But, when it comes to the technology or his tablet, or to any his grandmother's tablet, it's a bit more advanced than his because she has more apps because it's hers, of course. He will navigate through hers on YouTube and find whatever video he likes. And then when it comes to he will find Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, that song will start playing and he will turn back and look at us and he will start bopping to the song and just making sure that we know this is my jam. So anytime you get a chance, you play this to me.
And he is one. When is he going to turn two?
He turns two October 29th.
Wow. so he can already he can get around not a baby tablet, but a grown person's tablet.
Oh yes, he's elite. He's elite.
Wow. So tell us some more things about him. I mean, how does he interact with you and with your wife?
He tries to talk with us like he's our age. Like just from, I always bring up an example. Like we was in the store the other day, and I forgot what reason I was going to the front, but I just remember I walked off, and he was out of the cart, and he walked to the, like the middle of the aisle, and he just yells out like, "What are you doing? Where are you going?" And then, like, it came across so clear for a one-year-old. I turn around. I'm like, well, what are you doing? Like, he questioning me. Yeah.
Like, he making sure you okay and checking you out. You
right.
Got to account for
right.
yourself. And
right.
His language skills are not even quite in yet.
Oh, no. They're not there yet, but some certain things you can completely understand. Especially in, like, in the given moment, exactly what he's trying to say to you. Like, I was just this morning, we woke up. My wife was already going to work. I woke up, and I see this guy just looking right at me in my eyes. He's like, Dad, hungry. that's that notice for me. All right, get up. Let's get up. Go get him some breakfast. Like, you know.
Wow. And he's not even two yet.
No, not yet. I'm not at the
ready and
for
he
the
wasn't
two.
Gonna let you lay there without getting him some breakfast.
Oh no, he'll give you. I honestly think he woke me up because I just remember I felt a slight little pat on the back or pat on the head, and then I just turned my head and I see him. He's looking at me. I'm looking at him, and it's like, all right, we got to do something now. Like you got to get up, dad. That's the eye that he gives you.
So is he potty trained yet?
Not yet. He's in the process.
Okay.
He will let us know, or he'll give us that he'll let us know when he's ready or when he's going, and we just gotta have to do with what he has going on.
Right. Wow. Now is he feeding himself?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We will sit him. I think the only thing we have to do is sit him at the table, put the food in front of him, and he'll handle the rest.
Okay.
He's not going to overfeed. He's not going to underfeed. He's going to get exactly what he wants, and he will let us know
mm-hmm.
when he's ready to be done.
Okay. Amen. Now, I asked you this question before. And that is, well, we know your wife. I mean, a wife is going to take care of their child. But do you take care of him? Are you comfortable being with him and seeing to his needs, like, all day long?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Regardless of whatever the matter may be, I'm completely prepared to step in at any moment when my wife is not there. Or even when she even is here, I do what I can to give him or give her the relief, you know, just from being a mother. And I will completely take over with no answers for questions about it. It's to me, it's, you know, with our generation, there's a stigma going around that it's supposed to be 50-50 or 100% complete the husband's way. Like, no, I believe it's supposed to be 100% both ways. So it's
right.
You know, no one is given out any less than 100%. It's 100% effort from both sides, and that's how you get the perfect household. It doesn't even have to be perfect because at the end of the day, we're all human. Like 100% from both ways can go a complete long way towards having a good household.
All right. So, amen. Amen. That's wonderful. That is so wonderful. So have you felt like there has been any challenges with him since he's been born or, you know, anything that has given you a challenge at all, you and your wife?
I would say a challenge? No, but there is always, you know, that that fear, like, because, you know, he's still growing up, so we're not absolutely sure what he can take in or what he can, like, push out as far as, like, food or anything. So, like, we have to, like, just you know, feed him and watch him at the same time, you know, because certain things that he grows up, you know, and he eats new things, we have to watch his reactions to make sure, oh, okay, well, we know he doesn't like broccoli. You know, we know now that he's allergic to strawberries. Like, those things, you know, we have to learn as we go. We have to find out.
Yeah, well, what happened when he ate strawberries?
So he had strawberries, I think this was maybe a few months ago, and he had like a mild reaction to his skin. He had like a mild breakout, and then we got him to the doctor like that same week, and then they thought, uh-huh, like, yeah, we gotta dial back on the strawberries. He had an actual allergic reaction to them. So yeah, he can't. It's a no on the strawberries now.
Okay, all right. Well, that's good to see, and, you know, to be able to notice and look at. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Okay, I am so glad that you feel comfortable, you know, being around him, and that you can, and not only when your wife is away and she's doing something, but, you know, while she's there as well, that you, you know, jump in. And that's a wise father. Who
oh, yeah,
can do that?
Oh, yeah.
That's
for me, I feel it's the, you know, for me, it's the presence. Like, growing up, I got a stepdad now, but he wasn't there, you know, the full term, you know, of fatherhood. Like, that wasn't, you know, who I had to look up to. For me, it was my mother. So me growing up, mm-hmm, and just being my mother in the house, you learn, and you live and you learn to see, like, all right, boom. My mother's doing everything. She's striving. She's a hustler. My mother had, as a matter of fact, if I can, I shout out my mother's. She has a pickle business called the Pickle Craze. You can get in contact with me to get you some pickles. You do whatever you gotta do.
You know, I moved to St. Louis 12 years ago, and I had never heard of people loving pickles like they do here in St. Louis. I hope I said St. Louis because I always say New Jersey. But, yeah, in St. Louis, people love them some pickles. Never heard of that
before. They love my mother's pickles. When I say my mother's been in the pickle business, I think since I was, I think, 7th or 8th grade. And I've been out of high school 6 or 7 years now.
Wow. Wow. Well, I know a lady named, she calls her pickles Big Mama's Pickles. So what does your mom call her?
Her business is called the Pickle Craze, where you can get
pickle
your taste
craze
buds pickled, and she'll say it just like that.
Okay. So can you look her up on online or anything?
Oh, yeah. You can find her her business. She has a business page on Facebook at the Pickle Craze. Or you can get in contact with me. You know, you can find me on social media, do whatever you need to do. We can get you some pickles.
All right. Yeah, I mean, that is so big here. How can people get in touch with you on social media? You have a Facebook page?
Yes, ma'am. My Facebook page is going to be at Zach Nelson. ZACHNELSON, and I'm when I say I'm the most friendliest person you probably ever meet. Feel free to hit me up. You know, you can ask me a question. We can talk about anything. We can talk about your day. I'm just trying to get across. I don't want to step on your toes. We're gonna get across to that mental health line, and we're gonna, you know, I'm here for people.
Well, now let's jump to that since you kind of got over there a little bit, but that's you're at the right place at the right time. So what I wanted to talk about, I said after we talk about your son, your family, that we want to talk about what's on your heart, and that is mental health. So
yes.
Wait, before we get there, hold on one second. I had a question I wanted to ask, and then we're going to jump into your mental health, what God has on your heart with that. Where do you work? Do you and your wife work from home, or you go out to work?
No, so my wife works at she works at Mercy Hospital right now, and I'm currently in the process of finding work. I've narrowed it down to three options. I've had numerous opportunities to work, but like I said, with my mental health and everything going on, that's why I said I have a big support line. You know, they all support me taking my time and finding my work, because my work will come.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so tell us about what's on your heart about mental health.
Yes, mental, it goes back. It goes back to me. When I was, three to 4 years in the military, I was stationed in Fort Riley, Kansas. And, there is, you had to learn to, you know, whatever you dealt with, you had to suck it up and deal with it, because there was nobody you can turn to. So, that's the way I felt. There was no one that you can turn to ask for help or ask, oh, hey, you think you can help me out with this? Or no, it was none of that, because a lot of stuff that I dealt with, it was a lot of the people that I dealt with, they never looked like, not saying that they needed to, but they never looked like up to your, what's the word I'm looking for, like your desires or like what could have benefited you. It was all about, you know, it was every man for himself. It was a dog-eat-dog world over there. You know, ever since then, like, I had, I can't remember the year, but I lost my first sergeant. I was on my second deployment in Germany. I lost my first sergeant. He got hit by a train. And, you know, ever since then, everybody was, like, down in dumps about it. You know, it weighed a toll. That was, like, one of the first deaths that I dealt with military-wise. And but when you're, like, the youngest around and everybody else already knows how to deal with it, you can't go and ask them because they're already dealing with it. So you have to learn yourself. And that was like a big thing for me, like even trickling down to, you know, just being in the military itself. Like I was in a 2018, I was in a bad military vehicle accident where I got rear-ended by a fuel truck. And ever wow. since then, it took a toll on my military career to where, you know, you just – when life goes from you being at the tip top of shape in your life, you know, passing every physical test, to just a complete opposite, to where you can pass anything even if you try it, to where there's no one in your corner, you're not doing anything good, you start thinking to yourself like, oh, what am I worse? And it took a lot for me to get past that. So then when I finally got past it, you know, it was a point of okay. But now that I've moved past that, what will I do now? What can I work towards to do now to make sure that I don't go back down that road? And that's when I started coming up with, like, ideas, different ideas. Like, okay, well, I can do this. I can reach out to someone and try to get, you know, be a consultant or something towards mental health. And then that's when I started up. I thought of, I got a brand that's going to be dropping real soon. It's called Heart Over Hype. H-E-A-R-T, over hype, H-Y-P-E. And when I tell you this brand, it's going to start off with clothing, but clothing is far from where I want to take this brand. This brand is going to be about mental health and mental awareness and, you know, people struggling and people prevailing with mental health.
Yeah.
This brand means so much to me. I have friends and family invested into this brand. You know, I have, like I said, my support line is amazing right now. So, yeah,
amen.
So we'll take this brand and hopefully, you know, we will aim for the stars and shoot for the moon. But I'll be fit.
That's wonderful. And, you know, I do believe that you receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior is a very important part right now. It's hard to tell exactly how everything is going to fit in, but this I can say to you, you'll never do anything by yourself anymore. It won't just be because you figured it out. It'll be because the Holy Spirit is leading you. And he'll lead you to the right place at the right time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm happy you brought up the fact that I won't be by myself, because I truly understand now that being when I was by myself back then, it will never happen again. So it's like now that I understand the tools, I know the tools, I know who to talk to, I have friends that I can reach out to just to vent to, let alone my wife.
Yes.
Like I have, like I said, I keep saying I have the ultimate support line, to where if anything needs to happen, I have someone I can talk to, which is why I try to push out to everybody, any and everybody. I say that almost every day, no one has to go through anything by yourself. Anyone, like I said, everyone has my name. Go look me up on social media and find me. You can message me, and I will talk to you like you're my brother or my sister. We
That's
can get
beautiful.
The job done. We can get you past whatever you're going through.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So anything else you want to share about that? About the mental health and, you know, helping people? You've reached out to people before. Give us an example of you reaching out to someone. What has happened?
So I would say this is while I was still in the military. I reached out to my behavioral health advisor, and it was not even a couple weeks. It was a week after one of my closest friends had committed suicide. Now, him committing suicide, it meant so much to me because he had a son. He was raising his son. That son was the apple of his eye. Like, when I say, imagine coming to work with somebody, and they're so joyful. Like, you see nothing but smiles, and when they see you, it's, oh, what's going on, Nelson? How you doing? Like, what you doing today? Can I help you? Or, you know, just being this energetic person. So, you just don't see them anymore, and you wonder why. Well, that's what you deal with. It's some people, their mindset is not to, oh, okay, I'm going through this, let me fight through it. Their mindset is to just give up, and that's just the honest truth for some people. Well, for me, when I found the news out that he committed suicide, it was the fact that, you know, well, maybe what could I have done to prevent that? When it was, I honestly know to myself that there was nothing I could do because my wife was pregnant. She was getting ready to have her first child. We were getting ready to have our first child. So I had to be there as a father. I couldn't take time away dealing with, you know, what Luna had going on, but I could have been there. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that was something that was weighing on me, which is why I went to go talk to behavioral health. So when I talked to behavioral health, I broke it down. It was just the fact that, I don't know, I took a lot of the blame, you know, for me not being there. Like, his office was right across the hall from mine. So everything that happened to him, I felt like I could have prevented, which is typically what someone does when they lose a friend in that way.
Yes.
So for me, it was the fact that, you know, I just feel like, you know, I could have did something. I could have hit him up. And then she told me, you know, she spoke some true words. She told me that, well, how would you know when and where he wanted to do what he did? It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
How would you know what he's dealing with if he reached out to you to tell you? It's impossible. How would you know if this man was going through whatever he went through? Because at the end of the day, we found out what actually happened, and I'm not going to air his business out because it's sacred to him and his family.
Right.
But she said, how would you know that he was going through what he went through if he didn't tell you? It's impossible. So when you start thinking about stuff like that, and you're like, oh, okay, well, maybe I couldn't, you know, maybe I could have, you know, you start overthinking to yourself. Well, I'm an overthinker. So, like, I just start thinking to myself, okay, maybe I couldn't have been there. Or, you know, I was good. I feel like I was a good friend. I was a good family member. You know, that was my brother because we both served in arms. So that was my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like, all right, maybe, you know, he did what he did with his decision. And we have to live with what he did. But we can just, you know, aid the aftermath. That's what we can do at this point, aid the aftermath.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what we did. We reached out to his wife, to his son, that was the apple of his eye. And when I spoke to them, you know, there was nothing but, you know, just, you know, we just got to get past this, and what do you need? And then what I took from that entire situation was that, okay, boom, my son is about to be born here in a couple months. Oh, well, now my son's born. Let me continue his legacy, how he was a great father, how he was there, how he was present, how he helped his wife whenever she needed it. Let me continue that with my son and my wife.
Amen.
Which is why I'm here today.
Yeah. I said that's a good way to think about it, too, to carry on the legacy.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I got the question asked to you, or you always get the question asked to you, well, what keeps you here today? What keeps you going? And my answer is going to always be my son. I grew up always having to worry or thinking about, like, oh, why isn't my father in my life? What did I do wrong? You have to let your child know they've done nothing wrong. They did not ask to be here. You brought them here. So you have to be there as a man and a father. And these are not my words. These words, I was told this by my friend, my brother, James Jones. He will tell you himself if you get him on here. That's he told me. You know, as a kid, we don't ask to come into the world. The world is given to us, or we are brought into the world. No questions asked. Mm-hmm. So, as a father, when you bring that kid into this world, you must be there for that kid. Mm-hmm. I can keep going on and on about it. So, just keep going.
Yeah, you know what? You know, I'm hearing you. And it's so many things that's just going through my mind right now. But I know you are in a place, and God is doing a great new beginning with you. And there's a lot of tools that he's going to give to you. Now, I'm talking about from God. Man will give you a lot of different tools, but the ones that you get from God and that you learn your testimony of walking with God, those are the best tools that you can share with other people. And, you know, that will not only get them through what they're going through, but they can hold on to that and hold on to the things of God and be able to hold on to his word and get through any situation. And I'm back to that scripture that you said today, you know, about whatever suffering that people are going through at the present time, as they hold on to the Lord and to his word, they'll find out that it doesn't compare to the glory that God has for them. So it's a lot. You're at the beginning of a wonderful journey. And what's going to be important for you is the word of God. The word of God has to be a standard. And the word of God is going to get you through all that you go through and everybody that God sends for you to help. And here's the thing about you is that you have a heart for the people of God. You have a heart for people who are going through. Now, somebody can be trained to do that, and if they don't have a heart, God can't use them. But you have a heart, and so God is going to use you, and he can do a lot with you just having a heart to be able to help people. I was going to tell this story later, and I may reiterate on this later. But today something happened to me. It was very interesting, and I look at it as God. I was getting ready to go, you know, over to the east side from St. Louis, and I was getting ready to get on a bridge, and I went in a direction I don't usually go in that direction, but I was led by God to go in that direction. In the street, as I got ready to turn, I was waiting on the light to turn. There was a woman standing in the street, and she was holding on to the back of a wheelchair, and she was crying, desperately wanting help. And she just kept saying, help me, somebody help me. And she cried so hard. And when I got up to the light and I'm waiting on the light, and she was standing out there, and I handed her some money. But more than money, she needed help. And later on, I realized God has sent me there to help, not with a piece of money. You know, he sent me there to help pray for her because she needed some serious prayer. And so there were some demons that had to be cast out of her. Looking at her, I knew that she was on drugs big time. And she might have even had AIDS. There were lesions on her face, open lesions on her face, going down her arms. Her fingers were round and swollen, open lesions down her arm and all these bumps and everything. And, I could have done a whole lot of other stuff. And I was asking God, what am I supposed to do right now? And he says, first of all, she needs to be saved because her body is wearing out. She's done a lot to her body. But I heard her cry. Let her know I heard her cry. And I let her know. I said, God hears you out here. It doesn't seem like anybody's hearing you, but God is hearing you right now. And God sent me to let you know that he hears you and that he wants you to receive him as your Lord and as your Savior. And so I led her in a prayer to receive Jesus. And I will tell you something. She was still crying, but it was a different kind of cry. You know, she wasn't crying, help me, like she was before, because God had sent her help. And something happened in her heart immediately as she was standing out there. And so God's going to send us to help people. He's looking for people who have tender hearts who will go out and help people. And we have to know how much help God wants us to give. He still needs room to help the way he wants to help. You know? And so he's gonna give you that balance. Because you have a wife, you have a child, you have to have his balance to know exactly how he wants you to help. And he's going to show you that. He's going to give you his vision and show you what to do and how to do it. And I know other people want to talk to you. I wanted to kind of get that out. But, there's so much I want to say. But I'm going to go ahead and open up the line. Praise God. And I know some people want to talk to you. Now, we have a lot of, on this line, a lot of baby boomers. And a lot of people on the line probably are old enough. I don't want to say everybody's age, but we're probably old enough to be your grandmother. Or, no, let me say your sweet aunt, okay? I'll say it that way. Some are probably old enough to be your great-great-grandmother. And we're going to open a line first for my mom. And we call her Pastor Mom. She's still pastoring, and I assist her in pastoring. And she's going to turn 90 in August. So we're going to put her on. We usually ask people to pray for her, so I don't know if you're ready for that. But and you might be. So if you have a prayer for my mom, I want you to pray for her. And then my sister Catherine, she's a pastor. Pastor Catherine is going to be on the line as well with Pastor Mom. So welcome, Pastor Mom.
Amen. Thank you. What do you want me to do?
You don't have to do anything. What did you think about what Zach was saying today, Mom?
Huh?
Did you hear what he was saying?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So he did good, didn't he?
Yeah, he did good.
Amen. Amen. So you got a prayer for my mom?
I don't have a prayer in my head. I do apologize.
Okay. That's all right. You started.
But I will say, if I can, I can go. We can pray together.
Okay. Okay. So I'll tell you what, Pastor Catherine, Mom, do you want to pray for Zach? You want to say anything?
Well, I just said thank you to the ones who want to be prayed for.
Okay. Amen. Thank you, Pastor
Amen.
Mom. Amen. Pastor Catherine?
God bless.
Thank you. That's
my
prayer. Okay.
Yeah, praise
Go
God.
Ahead.
Yeah, praise God. Zach, Brother Zach, this evening, you did a great job. I was one of the things that you mentioned, that if you have a child, that you ought to stay with that child and raise them up. I thought that was really a wise of you to say that. And you seem like right now, starting off, you're a good father. So I thank God for where you, the place that you have you and your wife at this particular time together. And just make sure, well, I know you already probably know that the mother and the father need to stay together to raise their children.
Right.
And, mm-hmm. And I just believe that this is going to be a new beginning for you. And I believe that even your friend has birthed something on the inside of you. I know it might seem like it was a tragic to you that your friend had to commit suicide. But you know, God he's still working on the inside of ones that's going to be used for his glory. And I think something is going to be birthed out of what, because of some things that you've gone through with your friend. And I'll just say that as Apostle was saying, if you stay with the Lord, you're going to see some awesome and great things that God is going to do in your life. As you were talking, the scripture that I kind of remember, I was kind of thinking of when they met Jesus, he said, you've been fishing for fishes, but I'm going to make you fishers of men. And I believe that's what you're going to be. You're going to be fishers of men. And I hope that you will keep up. I hope that you will keep up with Apostle, because I want to keep up with you, because I want to see what God is going to do in your life. And I know he's going to do some awesome things, even with the things that he's birthing you from your friend. So God bless you and may you continue to be the wise father that you are right now. So God bless you here.
Thank you so much. That means so much. You just don't know.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, Apostle. Thank you for having him on tonight. I think it's good to give the younger generation an opportunity, because they're the next generation to continue on for the body of Christ. So thank you so much for having him on here tonight. And I'm going to look forward to you. I hope that you will come over, because we are going to have baptism. My son is the pastor of the church now, and I would hope that you would come over and get baptized with us. I think it's supposed to be one next month.
Okay. Well, let me know about it, and I'll make sure that I get that information to Zach.
Oh, okay then. All right, then. God bless you, Derek. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you. And with my sister, Pastor Catherine, her and her husband pastored for a while. I'm just going to give you the short story. And so her son took over as the pastor of the church. He just now turned 40 this year. And he and his wife are pastoring. And it's a beautiful church. It's called Cazon. You might look that up. Chazown. And that's on West Florissant in Jennings, Missouri. So Chazown is the name of the church.
Okay, I got you locked in.
Huh?
I just locked it in my notes. I got it.
Okay, good. So, you know, they're young, you know, just like I said, just turned 40. They have children. They have beautiful children's ministry there. And that may be a good place for you and your wife, you know, and especially a good place to be baptized, okay? So, all right. Anyone else? I see you, Pastor Price, with your number one key press. Anyone else? Press your number one key and just kind of encourage this young man of God here. Hallelujah. Okay, from the line for Pastor Price. And she's my sister as well. Welcome, Pastor Price.
Yes, glory to God. How you doing, Apostle and Brother Zach and all of the precious saints in their respective places? Brother Zach, I'm down here in Memphis, Tennessee, and I just thank God for you. I won't forget this part. My sister, Pastor Catherine, just invited you to her son's church, which is Cazon, and that's in St. Louis. And that word, it used to be called Word of Faith. And the Lord led my nephew to name the church Cazon, which means a dream or a vision. The word of God said, without a vision, the people perish. And so with Cazon, it is now what you would call, you know, sometimes we're not familiar with certain words like Cazon, but it's just like, I think it's either the Hebrew or Greek word for vision or dream, because sometimes people don't have a vision. And that's why the Lord led my nephew to name the church Cazon. So we praise God, and if you get a chance, it's a wonderful ministry and a young ministry, and I just thank God for it and you know, what God is doing in his life. Now, Brother Zach, I want to thank God for you. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for you, Brother Zach, and thank you for being on this Wise Fathers broadcast. First of all, I want to thank you for your 7 years of service to this country. I want to tell you how much I and we do all appreciate your service, to be in there in that service for 7 years. I have such a great respect for ones who've gone, you went through a basic training, Lord, and had to go through all of that and then went on in and finished out your 7 years. That speaks for a whole lot right there. So I just wanted to thank you for your service to this country. The second thing I want to thank God for you and praise God for you is also for your great decision to pray with Apostle Kizzy to have that blessed assurance of your salvation. That takes real courage. That's a real courage to make that great decision to say, I want to be sure beyond a shadow of a doubt. Brother Zach, I was in church. I was raised in the St. Louis area, and I was in a church all my life, in churches all my life in that area. But sitting in the church, like it's like somebody said, standing in a garage does not make you a car. You can be standing all day in a garage, and it will never turn you into a car. So sitting in the church, I had never really did, even though I was in church the majority of all my life, I never had did what it said in order to be saved. And so I was so glad when I could have someone who prayed with me and for me. And so I just thank God for you that you made that great decision to pray with Apostle Kizzy to have that blessed assurance of your salvation. Then
Amen.
I was thanking God. My heart was so blessed today hearing about your son and your interaction with him and for the great love you have for him. I just laughed. I just went, oh, when you were talk about him because he used his grandmother's tablet, and to be able to go right on to what he wanted to hear, you know, to see. And then that he's talking already and able to articulate, glory to God. What a great blessing. And then you have some blessed time with him. So I thank God for your interaction with your son and for the great love you have for him and your precious wife, your mom. And I've looked up the pickle craze on the internet while we were on there. So I thank God for your mom and family. And then also I want to thank God for your desire and the heart that you have to help people who are going through mental problems in their lives. I know in my life when I was younger, I had 6 children. I have 8 living children. I now have 29 grandchildren, and as Apostle told you, we got some older people here. So I have about 20-something great-grandchildren. But when I was a younger woman, I went through having 6 children to be with the Lord. And it was a rough time for me. But because I came to know Jesus, he was the one who is, the old folks used to say, he's a mind regulator, a heart fixer, and a mind regulator. I'm so glad that God is raising up ones like yourself who can be able to stand with people and have a heart for people who go through mental problems. I was thinking, God, when I was going through the times, and people would say, well, I understand what you're going through. I understand. And there's something for somebody to sympathize with you, but it's another thing when somebody can empathize with you.
Right.
And say, I really understand what you're going through. I know that my husband in December of 2020 went to be with the Lord, and my sister, Pastor Catherine, her husband, had went to be with the Lord before mine. And my dad, my mom's husband did also, my dad. And so during those times, there were words, the key words that she would speak to my heart and she would speak to my mind. And it still is not, even though it's been a year, a little bit over a year and a half now, there are still times when I just have to, you know, we as Christians, we do the best and we look to the Lord to not let us have an inordinate grieving and everything. But there are times and triggers and certain things. I found myself yesterday just crying about a man singing about his little girl, daddy's little girl. And it just touched my heart, and I just cried. And I thought my other daughter, I told my daughter, I said, maybe your sister wants to hear this. She said, no, Mama, she's not going to want to see this. She said, I'll look at it, but she don't want to see this. And so I didn't pressure her to see that because we all deal with grieving. Now I'm recovered in that sense. Now I'm going on and going forward in the Lord. But there are just those little spaces and times when things will come up. And sometimes we need somebody to encourage our hearts. So again, Brother Zach, I want to thank God for you taking on this the challenge. I was so grateful to have a young man that's a father, a young man that's in the Lord, and a young man that has a heart for people who are going through a mental problem. I thank God for that. Somebody said it's a wonderful thing to have a life of service for the Lord. And you're right at that good age where God can use you in his service as he would. I'm going to stop with this. There was, and I'm going to stop, Apostle, but I wanted to say one more thing. When I was younger, around your age, and I had my mother would pray. She's 90 now, going on 90 this year. And so she's gotten older. But when I was a younger woman, she would pray so much for me because I was out in the world. And if I kept going the way I was going, I could see me running at death and death running at me. And God got a hold to me. And I thank God for that and coming into my heart and into my life. And then one day when I was about 25, 26 years old, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want you to go around the world for me. And he had begun to tell me about, he said, how we'll be witnesses for him in Acts 1 and verse 8. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. And Brother Zach, God sent me around the world to Hawaii, Tokyo, Hong Kong, India, Germany, London, around the world to New York, Miami, Washington, D.C., and I've been so many times back and forth across the United States and going forth in the things of God. And my prayer for you, Brother Zach, is that God will greatly use you in his service and for his glory. That even this day, even the more, my sister's already prayed with you, but I just continue to commit and commend you and your lovely wife and family. Commend you to God and to the word of his grace that's able to keep you, guard you, defend you, and preserve you. And I, too, take the challenge, as my sister, Pastor Catherine, to say that I'm going to stand with you in prayer from now on my prayer list to lift you up to the Lord. So thank you so much for your attendance tonight and for you being involved tonight. And I give glory to God for you. And God bless you. Apostle, I'm going to go back on you now. And God bless you. Thank you. And y'all have a blessed night. Mm-hmm. Yo, did you want to say anything? Did you want to say anything to me, Brother Zach, before I go?
I appreciate everything you just said. Everything. It means so much to me. All those words of wisdom. It means a lot. I thank you so much, and God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Brother Zach. And I'm going back on mute so somebody else can say something. God bless you, Apostle, and each one of you all.
Oh, wonderful, Pastor. Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, I see you, Mr. Keith. Anyone else? Mr. Keith is going to connect. Anyone else? Pressure number one, courage this young man of God, this up-and-coming young man of God. Hallelujah. Let's open the phone line for Mr. Keith. Welcome, Mr. Keith.
Hello, how you doing?
Hi, good. So glad to hear you today.
Oh, thank you very much. Like I said, we had a great experience at Meineke, and we come to realize is that it was his plan for all three of us to be there at the same time, because we could have been anywhere else. And listening to, this is the second time I didn't heard Zach's story, because he told his story while we were sitting there waiting to get our cars serviced. And like you said, he's a fine, upstanding young man, because he's really doing a lot of things that the average man is not doing. And he's come to, and when he come to realize is that he's really doing it with ease. Sometimes it's difficult for some fathers to be a father, but his love for his son really makes his job that much easier. And what we come to realize is if you love what you do, it will be easy. And that's basically what life is really all about. And I really like to thank you, Ms. Barber, because you have done you're an excellent host. And like you said, the Lord has sent people to you to show this world what life is really all about. You know, and I'd like to say, I just like to encourage that. Mm-hmm. And I'm real reach out to him on Facebook, and then we'll be able to chat and, you know, and especially for an older person like me, it's always try to encourage the young people, because they really need encouragement from the older people, because sometimes they feel like we really don't care. And if they can really understand that we really care about them, life would be a lot better.
And that's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You take care,
Zach. Good to hear your voice. Yeah, it's good hearing from you, Mr. Keith.
You too now. Take care now. Have a blessed day.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And, you know what, I thought, you know, as Mr. Keith was talking, I thought about our conversation, Zach, where you kept saying too easy. and when he said, you know, when you love, you know, when love is involved in it, and you love people, that's when it's easy. You love your son, and so it's easy to do what you're doing. And I can hear you saying, yeah, too easy, too easy.
Definitely. I was thinking about the exact same thing when you said, you know, when there's love involved, you don't look at it as a task. You don't look at it as, oh, this is a responsibility. It's something you love to do. Like for me, he said it best. Being that for my son, I don't look at it as me being, you know, that's my responsibility. I look at it as that's my life. I brought that life into this world. Or I helped bring that life into this world. So I look at it as a task, a responsibility. I love my son to death, so I'm going to be there for him.
Well, it's wonderful that you love your son. That's beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, anyone else? You can press your number one key, and like I said, we have some time here. Right now, you have some time to press your number one key at any time, but right now I'm just going to take a little break here, and, every time we have we come online, most of the time we pray the prayer of salvation, because there could be some people who are listening right now. They may even be in our chat room listening, and they may even come on, maybe years from now and listen. And they may not know if they are saved, if they're born again. And we want to make sure that everyone is born again, so when we get to heaven, we'll have lots of company for many other reasons as well. Amen, because God loves you so much, and he wants you to have eternal life. Hallelujah. And just like the young lady who was out on the street today, and she was crying out, and God made sure that somebody came by to make sure that she was born again. God loves you so much. Hallelujah. And so the scripture, John 3:16, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the kind of love that he has. His love is eternal. And then he tells us how to receive that love. In Romans 10 and verse 9, Romans 10, verse 9, and what it says is, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So he's saying, when it says to confess with your mouth, that means you say a prayer, and that is confessing with your mouth. Now, believing in your heart is making a choice to believe. None of us was here 2,000 years ago, so we didn't see what happened. We didn't see all, Jesus being nailed to the cross. We didn't see all of that. So we have to make a choice to believe. And even the Bible says that blessed are those who believe without seeing. And so we have even a extra blessing because we didn't see, but we choose to believe. And then we say a prayer. And so repeat this prayer after me with all your heart. And when you do that, you will be saved. Now, it may seem easy and simple to you, but I'll tell you what, once you do it, it's an eternal thing that happens. And Jesus did all the work. Hallelujah. And so all he wants us to do is receive, to believe, receive. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Show me your way. Follow you. And now I know, according to the Bible, I'm saved, I'm born again, and heaven is my home. Amen. Hallelujah. You prayed that prayer, as I said before. If you prayed that prayer with all your heart, you are saved. You are born again according to the Bible. And we want to pray over you right now. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we commit and commend them to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that right now that you fill them to overflowing with your precious Holy Spirit and with power. We thank you, Lord God. Yeah. That's the Lord that you're perceiving right now. Power in your belly in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that out of the belly flows rivers of living water. And those rivers of living water are moving around in your belly right now, giving you power to live right, power to walk right, power to be right, power to do right in the name of Jesus. And then even power to receive your prayer language in Jesus' name. There's a language that God has given to you. He's given it, he's given me mine, and he's given you yours to be able to pray in the Spirit, to pray in the Holy Ghost. All of that is in you right now, ready to just flow out in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord God, for it right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we also thank you that you seal them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Each and every person who has prayed this prayer, that they are sealed with your blood and your precious Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And so you know how to keep us. You know how to preserve us along the way. And we thank you for that, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And now we want to invite you to go to a Bible-believing church and to learn and to grow. It's so important for you to learn and to grow through the Bible and being around the people of God. It is so important. So more than likely, there is a Bible-believing church near where you live right now. We invite you to go to that church. We also invite you to be a part of the Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts. The Lord put this family of broadcasts together to help people learn and grow by calling in or coming online. And so you can call this number for all of our Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts, and that number is 516-418-5699, 516-418-5699. And I'm going to tell you when our broadcasts are. Every Sunday morning, you call that number every Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. And that's the East St. Louis Christian Center Church. Pastor Mom is our senior pastor, and I'm Apostle Barbara Kizzy, the apostolic pastor. This Sunday, Pastor Mom will be bringing the word. Glory, hallelujah. And then on Mondays, we have Bible teaching, and we call it Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. So we have a Bible teacher to Lorraine, and she's out of Ohio. And so every Monday, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, on that one, that's the only broadcast where we don't open up the line, but you will learn so much as she just digs into the Word of God, and she digs deep into the Word of God. And then she teaches us how to dig deep into the Word of God as well. So 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. And then on Tuesdays, we have our prayer time. Now, we pray in tongues. If you don't pray in tongues yet, it's okay. You can still come, and as you listen, we have had people listening and began to pray in tongues. Or maybe they just prayed a little bit before. And then as they listen, their tongues come forth. their prayer language comes forth. Pray in tongues, and then we have interpretation. We have four people who pray in tongues for 15 minutes each, and when they finish, and that'll be the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then that's when we have our interpretation. And that's when God is, it's like when he's speaking, it's prophecy to us. So we get to hear what God has said to us as we were speaking in our prayer language. It is no less than awesome. And so that's every Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. And then the second Wednesday of every month, we have a healing service, and we call it prophetic healing. We have a co-host. We have two co-hosts, Elder Philip Harkey and his wife, Minister Linda Harkey. And so we pray for ones to be healed. Now, we just had that on last night. Last night was the second Wednesday of the month, and it was awesome. There were five healings that took place during that time. Hallelujah. So please mark your calendar, set your cell phone alarm, clear your calendar, and meet us here. The next time we'll have healing service is Wednesday, July the 13th, Wednesday, July 13th, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. So tell your family, tell your friends. I was encouraging people last night, and I'll encourage you. You have our number, 516-418-5699. Tell at least three people about it. Pray and ask God. You don't have to know if they have an illness or anything. Just pray and ask God, who should I send this announcement to? Who? Because I'll be sending it to you. And just pray in advance, who shall I send this announcement to? Three people, and just send it to them. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so then on Thursday, we have our Thursday edition of Get 'Em Radio. And it's at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. And this month, we have Wise Fathers. Hallelujah. So we're looking forward to the rest of the month to hear from our Wise Fathers. This month we've had such a wonderful time, and we thank God for our brother Zach who came on tonight. We've had millennials on before, but I don't think we've had a Generation Z person on, and so that is just wonderful. See, you're one of a kind, Zach. Hallelujah. So we just want to thank you for taking your time out and being with us, investing this time in us. We certainly appreciate you. And we will continue to pray for you. And as my sister was saying, my sisters were saying, we need to keep in touch with you. And so, you know, we plan on doing that. We're not going to blow your phone up or anything like that. But, you know, we want to keep in touch with you. So I'll say this. We've officially adopted you. We're part of your support network as well. Amen. You still there, Zach?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else that you want to say? Any closing remarks you want to say?
For the most part, I would just say I appreciate everybody listening. You know, I got some friends and family members listening as well. Shout out to everybody. I love all my friends and family. They know the most. I love my support line. And, you know, I'm happy to be on here. I'm happy for you to have me. I'm happy to be here.
Amen. Wonderful. Thank you. And so I'm going to go ahead and close us out in prayer. I want to pray for you first. pray for you and your family, and amen. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you for Zach. We thank you for his wife. We thank you for his son, Lord God. We thank you for this family, this new family that's learning and growing. Lord, help them to be one in you. Help them to learn your word and grow in the word of God. And we thank you, Lord God, even for his baby, for his son, that he will get to know you at an early age as he's just open and ready to learn and go on the tablet and find things out on the tablet. We thank you, Lord God, that he is even more eager than that to learn of you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that he will learn and he will grow. Thank you for protecting this family, keeping them, preserving them as only you can, Lord God. And we thank you for opening doors that no man can shut and shutting doors that no man can open. And you have given Zach a vision. We thank you, Lord God, for having him to walk one step at a time into this vision that you have given to him. Give him your wisdom, your knowledge, and a good understanding of what to do, how to do, and when to do it, Lord God. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Well, I'm checking one more time to see if anyone has pressed their number one key, and I don't see anybody else. So I just want to thank you all for joining us tonight. It's been a blessing. Meet with us next week. I believe that our speaker next week is going to be our Deacon Roy. Hallelujah. And Deacon Roy he's funny and he's interesting. So it'll be good to have him here next week. So, amen. And as I said, have a blessed rest of the night, and we love you all. God bless.
Y'all tell the people that, no?